Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our lesson, the gospel, which really speaks about signs of the ends of the age. And Jesus says, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first. But the end will not come right away. This is our text. Last summer, the gospel lesson was about Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem. Well, in today's gospel, we learn that Jesus finished his trip. He is in Jerusalem. And it's the time of the Passover when all of those Passover pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem. And the population of Jerusalem nearly doubled. And because the city was so crowded, Jesus and his disciples, they camped out on the Mount of Olives, right across the valley from the temple. I mean, Matthew and Luke indicate that it was the Tuesday before Jesus died on the cross. And the next time that Jesus entered the temple, it was as a prisoner. I mean, the temple itself was still in a state of construction. The fact is that Herod the Great had started a major expansion of the temple grounds about two decades or so before Jesus was born. And that building project lasted almost 80 years. And so that means that every time that you open the Bible and you read about Jesus being in the temple, it was in a state of construction. Workers, they erected retaining walls and they expanded the temple grounds. And no doubt, there was plenty to look at as the construction continued. That's the setting for the events in today's gospel. Jesus has spent a long day teaching in the temple. And evening approaches, and it's time to head out to the campground on the Mount of Olives. Well, as they leave the temple area, someone remarks at the beauty of the stones and the decorations. I mean, they had probably been looking at the new construction and imagining the glory of the temple when it was all finished, which wouldn't be for about another 30 years. Of course, the beauty of the temple was about much more than its physical appearance, because it was the center of Hebrew culture and faith. I mean, the temple was the place where God communicated with his people. He revealed himself to them in his word, and they sacrificed their offerings to him. And the pilgrims in Jerusalem for the Passover, they saw the temple as God's revelation of himself on earth. I mean, the temple was where God dwelt with his people. So think about what a shock it must have been when Jesus said, as for these things that you see, the days are coming when there's not going to be left here one stone upon another, that all will be thrown down. I mean, Jesus was telling them that the center and the foundation of their culture and faith would be destroyed. I mean, none of the Gospels tell us what the disciples talked about during the rest of the trip to their camp on the Mount of Olives, or if they maybe just walked in stunned silence. But as soon as they arrived and got settled at their camp, the disciples asked Jesus for more information. And that so it was that as they sat down on the Mount of Olives and looked across the valley at Jerusalem with the temple complex gleaming in the light of the setting sun, Jesus warned them that it would all come to an end. And history tells us that Herod the Great began his temple remodeling project about 2 decades before Jesus was born, and that the work was finally finished 84 years after it started. And about 6 years after that, in 70 AD, the Roman army laid siege to Jerusalem and destroyed it. Today, there's a Muslim shrine where the temple once stood. And the only trace of the temple itself is the scattering of stones around the Temple Mount. And the only thing from Herod's construction project that's still standing is the Wailing Wall. The destruction of the temple, I mean, that is a stark reminder to us that everything in this world comes to an end. And by the time that Rome destroyed Jerusalem, I mean, the early church had already moved to Antioch. And the Apostle Paul began most of his journeys from Antioch. Nevertheless, if we were to go to Antioch today, we would find archaeological ruins where the congregation used to meet. And Paul established many congregations along that northern shore of the Mediterranean. Some of them are still there, but many of them have been overrun by the Muslims. Others are mainly tourist traps. And then Christianity spread throughout Europe. Many gorgeous cathedrals went up during the Middle Ages. Smaller country churches dotted the countryside. But nevertheless, today, on any given Sunday, many of those magnificent cathedrals now have more tourists than regular members. And if nothing changes, Christianity will soon disappear in Europe. And many of the people who came to here, to our country, came to the Americas, came in order to practice their faith freely. But today, many of the really big churches look more like shopping malls than places to worship the Lord. But in spite of that outward appearance of success, the cracks are starting to show here as well. All of those big mega churches that were so popular, they're starting to show their age. And more people today are describing themselves as spiritual, but not religious. And the denomination known as none of the above is growing, while other denominations are shrinking. I mean, a recent survey took the pulse of religion in America. They found that Mormons knew the Bible better than any other group, and that was followed by white evangelicals and then atheists. Atheists. Do you understand what that says? A vast majority of people who identify themselves as Christians in the United States don't know the Bible as well as atheists. No, even Martin Luther described that trend. In 1524, he wrote a letter to the councilmen of the cities of Germany, encouraging them to establish and to maintain Christian schools. And in that letter, he wrote, "You should know that God's word and grace is like a passing shower of rain, which doesn't return where it has once been. It's been with the Jews, but when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have nothing. Paul brought it to the Greeks. But again, when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have the Turk. Rome and the Latins also had it. But when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have the Pope. And you Germans," says, "need not think that you will have it forever. For ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore," he says, "seize it and hold it fast, whoever can. For lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I mean, the world tries to entice us with many things, but all of those things will pass away. And just as the Roman army reduced the temple to rubble, so also shall everything in this world be reduced to nothing. Our cars, our homes, our bank accounts, this building, it will all be gone. And only the promises of God will remain. The promises of God that focus on the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Because he promised, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. With those words, he has promised that those who believe in him will go on, even if the entire universe returns to the emptiness from which he called it. See, he who sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins, he now lives in the hearts of those whom he saves. And since the temple is the place where God dwells, I guess that means the heart of every person that he has saved is the temple. Through baptism, the reality of that word is combined with water, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in that heart. And that person trusts Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and no longer trusts in the things of this world for salvation. I mean, it's appropriate that as we come to the end of the church year, that we think about the end of our time on this earth. I mean, our end may come at the time of our own death. On the other hand, if you think about it, all of the signs that Jesus mentions in today's gospel, those things have already happened. And so we continue, we continue reading about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And we've had great earthquakes and famines and pestilences, and the terrors and the great signs from heaven have already happened. The fact is, this world could end at any time. But whether we leave this world in death or at the end of things, those who trust in this world, they're going to shriek in terror as that mouth of hell opens to swallow them in an eternity of pain and anguish. But on the other hand, those who trust in the reality of Jesus Christ are going to shout for joy as they enter into the blessings of the eternal reality. And there we will dwell forever with God, and he will dwell with us. Amen.